You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
It's a new day with Rhett Palmer.
All right, this is Rhett Palmer. It's a new day for you and I both, and my friend Jad. Jad has just returned from
Lebanon.
Yes. And he's recently married, and he was over in Lebanon as a missionary, came to know the Lord just a couple of years ago.
That's right. Well, yeah, I knew the Lord in high school, but really picked up my cross daily a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Kind of strayed like the prodigal son, and
then
came back and had a hunger and a thirst for the things of God.
Amen.
And so much so that now you become a missionary.
Yes. So I was in Lebanon doing mission work, evangelism specifically. And as you know, there is a Lebanese Christian population, about 40%, but the majority of that is traditional Christianity. And so even...
When you say traditional, does that mean perfunctory or obligatory? They show up in the pews, but maybe there's not really a relationship, a deep one? Or
yeah, it's, you know, and... not anything against these churches specifically, but the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, and oftentimes the rituals become more significant in someone's relationship with the church than the faith in Jesus and reading the scripture and understanding what we're called to do. And so oftentimes, you know, it's important even to spread the gospel to Christians who are in that situation. To give them a new fire and also to point them towards the Word, because sometimes in these churches there won't be an encouragement to read the Bible, and so people will you know, not really have the right idea in terms of what we're called to be as Christians. And of course there's also an even larger Muslim population, and so that really does, the main population that we're speaking with are the Muslim people over there. And it's encouraging to see the work that Jesus is doing in the lives of those people and the people of Lebanon. There are evangelical and non-denominational churches and all different types of denominations, actually, you know, Protestant, Pentecostal. You know, there's a whole bunch of denominations that are growing now in Lebanon. And you're seeing a lot of Muslim folks, specifically refugees coming from Syria and from, you know, the Palestinian territories. They are turning towards the Lord in masses, and you'll see church services filled with people, specifically women. You know, they still wear the hijab because it's kind of a cultural thing, but they do have a genuine...
Is that the clothing over their head? What's it called?
The hijab, yeah.
The hijab.
Yeah, so they'll wear like kind of a scarf over their head. You know, there's kind of mixed feelings about that, especially if they're still going to church. You know, some people say, oh, well, shouldn't they take it off now that they've converted? The way that I think about it is we do have freedom, you know, in Christ. And if they choose to continue to wear that, that's really not the most important thing. The most important thing is that they have a genuine relationship with Jesus and they understand, you know, the basic principles of God and his heart, and Jesus, of course, and who he was, because in Islam, they believe that Jesus was a prophet like other prophets. They don't acknowledge him as the Christ, as Messiah, as God, as part of the, you know, three-headed God figure that's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so coming from Islam to Christianity, there's a lot of nuances that you have to really highlight, because it's actually essential, you know, that they understand these differences. Like, for example, they, for whatever reason in the Quran, it teaches that Jesus was not crucified, that it was actually a doppelganger of Jesus, that and it's a very cunning way of teaching it. It's, you know, it's basically talking about, because God, this is what it says, you know, it says God's love for Jesus, he spared him, you know, from that punishment on the cross. And
well, that's certainly what the devil would want us to think.
Right, exactly.
Because without the crucifixion and the resurrection, we have no Christianity.
Exactly.
And isn't it true that with Muslims or whoever it might be, all the other religions, it says you have to give up, your life for God. You have to surrender. You have to. Whereas with Jesus says, no. I gave up my life for you as an act of love.
Yeah. That's the difference between Christianity and other religions, is that we're faith-based, whereas other religions is works. Mm. You know, it's based off of, if you do this, you know, if you fast during the Ramadan season, if you, you know, there's the four pillars of Islam that you have to do, you know, praying five times a day, all these different things. And large in part, you'll see...
Tangled up in religiosity, as some Catholics or Christians or Protestants are here, too.
Exactly. And, you know, you mentioned the word legalism in our conversations earlier, and it can very much so become that, where the relationship with God is the most important thing. And, you know, that's what Jesus taught, was love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love others as yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. And so... you know, really getting people to focus on that, understand that, it gives them more joy. It takes away from that, you know, sense of obligation, you know, that's kind of a heavy, just, I have to do this, I have to pray five times a day, which most of the time, well, because there's specific prayers that they have to pray too. It's not necessarily from the heart, where they're just having a conversation with God. And so it becomes very detached and very much so just kind of like checking the boxes. But, you know, it's a lot of great people. Like, it's not all, you know, I'm not talking bad about the people specifically. However, the teaching itself, I believe, is off. And it's very important for people to know the truth. And you do see a lot of people respond positively towards that. And they do gravitate towards that because they sense something better, something different. You meet a lot of people who say, I just love when I walk into the church. I just feel so much love from the people. You know, it's like a home. It's like a family, in comparison to, you know, the other buildings they might walk into where it's different. You know, it's not the same
feeling. It's a perfunctory duty. It's obligatory. Yeah. Well, even Jesus himself said, many will come to me on that day of judgment and say, you know, we did signs and wonders, and we released demons in your name. He'll say, depart. This is the actual words of him. If you read it, he says, depart from me. I never knew you, as a husband knows a wife. To many others, he'll say, you fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, visited me in prison. When did we do this? I don't remember you, Jesus. And he says, well, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Come in, for your reward is great.
Amen. Yeah. And
it's not religiosity. It's spirituality, which means relationship,
right,
and others.
Yes, and specifically those people who are in need, you see that the Lord highlights them, and you'll notice that he also says that many who are last will be first last, right?
Yeah.
And I do, from my experience going over there and meeting with people who are in less fortunate circumstances, feel a stronger presence of the Spirit in those moments, because you can tell that they have an open heart, or you know, you do see that trend where people from those circumstances are more likely
The poor are rich in faith, right?
Right. So you do feel, it's almost like an encounter. I mean, you'll notice that with homeless people, even around here, for example, you know, they'll tell you, God bless you, or, you know, they'll even mention Jesus when you help them, you give them food.
Yeah.
And so... it does have that impact that, you know, some people think, oh, you know, you shouldn't help them, they might abuse it. But I tend to believe that we have a command to do as Jesus said, you know, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, visit people in prison. I mean, you might even think, you know, prisoners, there's a reason they're in there, you know, they've done something wrong. But we still have that command to serve those people. And for the most part, it is a very spiritual moment when you do.
Yeah, because Jesus said, if you say you love the Father whom you have not seen and don't love the brother whom you have seen, you're a liar and no truth dwelleth in you.
Mm.
So it's all about love. You know, it's like that song, He is watching us. Well, He is watching us.
Yeah, amen.
He read the heart of David. David failed. He fell forward. But God said, but this man has a heart after me.
Right.
He was repentant.
Right.
But not perfect, but repentant.
Yeah, just like how the tax collector who beats his chest and doesn't look towards heaven is more justified than the Pharisee who counts all of his righteous deeds, you know. And
To know that we don't have the righteousness it takes, because if you think you do, then you are self-righteous. And you got to be very careful of riches, because we've all, particularly when you live in a town where there's more Fortune 500 retired CEOs than any zip code in the United States of America, and there's lots of humble, well-earned wealth. Most of the time when it is earned, humility comes with the lessons and the anvil you have to be put on in order to succeed in life. But people sometimes they inherit wealth. They might be arrogant, and even the Bible says a proud look is an abomination to God. And riches can be very deceitful, to thinking that somehow you're better than others. And I think he has chosen, what did he say in the Bible? It does say something about, he's chosen the poor to be rich in faith. It's not somewhere it says that, right? Yeah. And blessed are the poor in spirit, not poor, but the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. Because they know that they are in needful of relationship.
Yeah, it does. That's the Beatitudes. It does say that.
Yeah. Now, you had an experience up there when you went to Israel, right? Was that
you? To Lebanon.
Oh, you didn't go to Israel yet?
No. Oh. You might be talking about Chris when he was standing right next to the Calvary Hill.
No. Talking about the Mount. What is it?
Mount of Olives?
When he gave the Sermon on the Mount.
Oh, I'd never been to that area, no. But... you know, Tyre and Sidon are in Lebanon. I've been there. And so there is stories of Jesus' ministry going to those areas. And
did Jesus himself ever go there, or are you talking the apostles went there? I think it was the apostles, wasn't it?
Actually, I believe early on in his ministry, he actually did make his way up there. But, someone can fact check me on me. Yeah, fact check me on that. But,
Now, you're newly married.
Yes.
Your father's a doctor. You're obviously not going to pursue medicine.
Well, I do work in healthcare, but on the administrative side. Yeah. So.
And you have a company that's a consultation company. What's the name of it?
Careflow.
Care, and what do you do?
So practice management consulting, specifically focusing on the insurance and patient billing. That's a big part of it.
Wow.
And using data analytics to optimize revenue and also clinical quality. So you can use the data to look to see, maybe if you have a patient that needs to get an ultrasound once every 3 months or once every 6 months. If your practice has 2,000 patients, it might be a little difficult to oversee that just kind of off the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use these data analytics systems that we implement, then you can catch if someone's approaching, maybe falling through the cracks, to make sure that you do schedule them for the right appointments. And
how would people get in touch with you if they wanted to find out more about that? Do you have a website or an email address?
Yeah, my email is jad@careflow.health, careflow.health. And so if there's anyone that is a physician or practice manager that would like to be more intentional about using data analytics within their practice, they could shoot me an email.
Now, when it comes to Jesus, lead us in a quick prayer. If somebody out there wants to have a relationship with the Lord like you have, give me about 15 seconds.
Dear Lord, for all the hearts that are out there that are thirsty for you, we just ask that you soften them, you fill them, and you just give them the joy of your spirit. And then we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Yep, amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that he rose from the dead. Thank you, Jad, for coming on the show.
Thank you, brother.
You've been listening to It's a New Day with Rhett Palmer. Tune in again at 7 o'clock in the morning and 3 in the afternoon for the all-new Rhett Palmer Show.
I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart, and I'd like to invite you to our observation of the National